Focus on what God says, not how you feel. Focus on what God says, not how you think. You must change your focus.
Dr. Tony Evans says allowing yourself to be distracted from God has its consequences.
What you are focusing on will determine what will control you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. We often pray to God to help us get out of difficult situations or circumstances. But today, Dr. Evans will talk about the kind of prayer that can help us avoid them altogether. Let's join him.
The story is told of a minister who was in a hurry to make a meeting on time. When he arrived at the facility where the meeting was going to take place, there were no parking spaces available, and he really needed to be on time. The only space that had an opening was a no parking place. He tried as much, he could not find a place, and so he pulled into the no parking area and parked his car. He wrote a note on the car. Desperately needed to get to the meeting on time. Forgive us our debts. He came back a few hours later and found a second note on his car from a police officer. I've been traveling this area for 10 years. If I do not give you a ticket, I could lose my job. Lead us not into temptation. We come to this next line in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are to hallow his name. We are to submit to his rule. Thy kingdom come. We are to honor his will, and that qualifies us to receive his provision of daily bread. While we exercise forgiveness to others that we wish to receive for ourselves. And now he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This line in the Lord's Prayer is a request for protection. It is a request for God to protect you. Now, why do you need protection? It's obvious when we read the newspaper and we see the evil that men do that we need protection. We have security in our homes, security on our cars. Some have weapons in their homes. It's just, we recognize the human need against other human beings for protection. But the concern of this request is much deeper than that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in the Greek text, the word evil can be translated the evil one. So this is a request to be protected from the devil. To understand that, you must understand that when the devil brought sin into the world, he not only affected people, he infected and affected the systems of this world. So whether you're talking about an educational system, an environmental system, an economic system, a political system, a human system, a nutritional system, whatever systems exist in the world, including our own humanity, has been infiltrated by the virus of satanic influence leading to sin. So you and I need to be protected from every kind of influence that the devil has in every system to which he is associated, and he is associated with every system that exists. We have disease because of sin. We have murder because of sin. We have emotional breakdown because of sin. It comes in all of these ways, affecting all of these systems that affect all of our well-being. So you need protection. I don't just need protection from people. We need protection from anything he influences. And he influences everything. So this prayer is a lot bigger than you might immediately and naturally think of. So the prayer request is that we will be protected from the evil one and not led into anything that would keep us from experiencing what we have prayed thus far. If he leads us into temptation so that we adopt evil, we do not qualify to hallow his name. We will be unable to service his kingdom. We will refuse to submit to his will, which will interrupt our provision and dumb down the opportunity for forgiveness. And so he is asking that we be protected from the evil one. Let me put it another way. Satan's goal is to break us up from fellowship with God, because if he can accomplish that, he can mess up everything else. He wants to separate us from fellowship with God in the same way that a defensive lineman wants to sack the quarterback so there can be no forward movement. Satan wants to sack you and me so that we regress in our spiritual lives and not progress in our spiritual lives. He says, lead us not into temptation. Now, the concept of temptation in Scripture can be positive or negative. When we try to make the distinction, we use the word trials to describe positive, and we use the word temptation, and generally we mean something negative. But it can be used either way, and the context will tell you which way it's being used. We know it's being used negatively here because he's asking for deliverance from the evil one. But why would you have to ask God to lead you not into temptation? James 1:13 says, God does not tempt any man. But here you're making a request for God to not lead you into a temptation. So let's go a little deeper. What God leads you into are trials. Trials are adverse circumstances, negative things that happen that are designed to develop you spiritually. A trial is a negative event that God causes or God allows, but every trial is only for one purpose, and that is to grow you spiritually, to mature you spiritually, to drive you to God at another level, and to take you to the next spiritual place God has for you. When God brings an issue in your life, not a sin you're committing, but a circumstance that is not in your favor, you are to view it as a trial. You are to not mistake the hand of God for the hand of man. In other words, don't just think it's the people, it's the situation, it's the circumstance. If God let it go from his heart through his fingers into your life, you view it as a trial. Satan doesn't want you to look at it as a trial, because then you'll miss the developmental purpose of God allowing it to happen. So he wants you to complain, fuss, cuss. He wants you to just be negative about it so you'll miss God's purpose in it. But if God let it through to you and you are wanting to walk with God, assume it's a trial. That's a trial. The Bible is clear in Isaiah 38, verse 17. Your afflictions are for your good. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. In a trial, God is calling your faith to the witness stand. See, you can say amen in church all you want, but he puts you on trial. And when he puts you on trial, he wants to see what your testimony is like now. He wants to see whether your testimony on the stand of your trial is the same as your testimony in the service when you are listening to the sermon, singing the song, and getting your praise on. So a trial is designed to develop you. Now, a temptation by the devil is designed to defeat you. God is designed the negative experience to develop you. Satan brings temptation in order to defeat you spiritually and separate you, you'll see what I mean in a moment, further from God. Now, here is the problem. Trials and temptations often happen around the same event. In other words, most of the things we deal with is not a trial over here and a temptation over there. Now, we know certain things, you know, they're just so obvious that they're temptations. But what Satan does is he piggybacks on a trial to try to turn it into a temptation. He will take something legitimate and try to take a legitimate and make it illegitimate. He'll take food and try to turn it into gluttony. He'll take sex and try to turn it into immorality. He'll take money and turn it into greed or theft or debt. So he will take something that God makes legitimate, mix with it, messes with it, to turn a trial that God wanted to develop us into a temptation in order to defeat us. So you say, well, I don't know whether this is a trial or a temptation. Assume it's both. Because God will often use the devil for a trial. And when God uses the devil for a trial, the devil takes God's use of him for a trial to try to use it for himself for a temptation.
Dr. Evans will have more specifics about how God gets us through those trials when he returns in just a moment to continue this message from his current series, The Lord's Prayer. This 8-part collection will teach you how to develop the same kind of intimacy Jesus had with the Father when he prayed. You can get a copy of this powerful series as our gift when you make a donation to help keep Tony's teaching here on this station. And as a special bonus, through next Monday only, we'll include a copy of Tony's popular book, God is More Than Enough. In it, Dr. Evans explores Psalm 23 and the peace you can experience when you accept God as your shepherd and allow Him to meet all your needs. Again, this offer is only available for a few more days, so be sure to contact us right away. Visit us at TonyEvans.org to get the details and make the arrangements. Or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help with your resource request. I'll repeat that information for you again after part two of today's message and this. You're a dedicated, kingdom-minded pastor, but are you ready to take your teaching to the next level?
So let me explain something. If you don't want to hear about Jesus, don't invite me.
On October 4th through the 7th, join in the Kingdom Agenda Pastor Summit and discover your full potential.
How do I manage? How do I balance? How do I cope with this blessing and brokenness at the same time?
With over 40 workshops to choose from, engage with the Word in the way that's best for you. And there's even sessions dedicated for pastors' wives.
Although we believe that we're in one body, we're functioning like stepchildren.
The path to real discipleship is right in front of you. Are you ready to begin? Register today for the Kingdom Leaders Summit at cap2022.com. That's cap2022.com. Find out why God has called you. Sponsored by the Urban Alternative.
God will use the devil for a trial. You don't believe me? Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Spirit of the Lord led the Son of God into the dry place of testing in order for the devil to tempt him. So God put Jesus in Satan's territory for Satan to mess with Jesus. God's goal was to show Jesus passing the test. Satan's goal was to make Jesus fail the test. But it was the same test at the same time in the same place. Job chapter 1. Satan said the only reason Job serves you is because you give him stuff. You take away his stuff and I bet you he will curse you. God says, I'm going to let you test him. But Satan tempted him. He tempted him to curse God. Job was being tested by God. Are you going to praise me when things aren't going well? Are you going to praise me when things are going left? Or are you going to let my test that I allowed Satan to tempt cause you to curse me? So when life hits you and you're being tested and tempted, the question is, which way are you going to go? Are you going to go with God as a test or with Satan as a tempt? Because they often both happen at the same time. So then, what God is after is seeing in a test how serious your commitment is, and to, when you pass the test, take you to the next spiritual level. Yes, I hate to tell you this, but God does use the devil to grow you. And the question you stand on is, which way are you going to go? Are you going to follow God when it doesn't make sense, when you don't like it? That was Job's choice. And Job had to make the decision. And so he says, lead us not into any situation we can't handle. That's what lead us not into temptation means. Don't give me a trial where I will be overrun by a temptation. Or if I'm already been beat up by the devil, if I'm already defeated by him, deliver us from evil. Well, now that means we need to learn how temptation works. How does it work? James chapter 1, verses 14 to 15 lays it out. He says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. In those two verses, he gives you the pattern of temptation. The pattern of temptation always starts with desire. Enticed by his lust. The word lust means desire. What Satan does is he creates a craving for something outside of the will of God. He wants you to want it. In Adam and Eve in the garden, God told them, don't eat of the fruit in the midst of the garden. But when Satan talked to Eve, it says, when she saw, it was delightful and desirable and was able to make one wise, she ate it because he created desire. Now, I've got bad news for you. When a football team plays another football team, they study their game film. They look at the game film of the opposition to know their tendencies, to know how they operate, so they can come up with a scheme to overcome what they do. Satan has studied your game film. He is very familiar with your personality, with your passions, with your desires, with your idiosyncrasies. He knows you better than you know yourself, because he remembers things you have forgotten. So because he knows you so well, he knows your tendencies. You have been assigned a demon. There is a demon who is assigned to you. Now the Bible says an angel is assigned to you if you're a believer, but the devil is assigned to you. Since he's not omnipresent, he's not God, he can't be everywhere, he needs his posse. So he has a posse that is assigned to you, and they have game film on you. They know how you move, what you like, what you are geared to, what you are desirous of. They know what you're thinking and how you operate. So they know the precise time to bring that thing, that situation, that person, that problem into you to create a desire that you may not even recognize you had until he shows up. He'll use television to bring the desire, computers to bring the desire, people to bring the desire, circumstances, and it gets amplified by your demonic agent. And he creates a lust or a craving for the thing that is outside of the will of God. Now, what we do is we dumb down how bad it is. In other words, because we don't want to feel bad about it being bad, we make it less bad than it really is. So that it's sinful, but it ain't that sinful. It's bad, but it's not as bad as them over there. So what we do is we dumb it down so that it doesn't have the significance, so that we don't have to feel that bad about it when we yield to it. So when we come up with excuse, like the guy who walked into the office with a bag of donuts. This is a huge guy who was supposed to be on a diet. He walks in with a bag of donuts, and his coworker said, "But I thought you told me you were on a diet." Says, "Well, I am on a diet. Then why do you have all these donuts?" Well, he says, "As I drove to work past the donut shop, I prayed. I said, Lord, if you don't want me to have a donut, then let there not be a parking space in front of the donut shop. But after the eighth time around the block, there was a parking space in front of the donut shop." What we do is we let the devil hang out long enough so the desire begins to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and it grows. And so he starts off with desire designed to entice. Those of you who go fishing know that you put the worm on the hook. You don't put the hook in the water without the worm, because you don't want the fish to see the hook. You want the fish to entice by the worm. So you hide the worm on the hook so that the fish thinks it's getting a worm when it winds up being hooked up by something that it was enticed by. Satan always has a hook tied to the delicious thing he happens to be offering you. But Satan is not going to show you the hook. He's just going to show you how well it tastes until he gets you hooked. And when he gets you hooked, he reels you in order to slice you up.
Dr. Tony Evans will come back with one final cautionary thought to wrap up today's message on the protection of prayer. In the meantime, if you'd like to review today's lesson on your own or share it with somebody you care about, you can get the full-length version as a part of Tony's current series, The Lord's Prayer. This entire collection is available on CD or digital download as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help support Tony's ministry. As I mentioned earlier, we'll also include a copy of God is More Than Enough, Tony's book that's already helped thousands of others find the strength they need to overcome inadequacy, worries, and hardship with the Lord as their guide. Just get in touch with us today and make your request before this special offer runs out. You can get all the information and make your donation online at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our Resource Center is open 24/7, so there's no need to wait. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. In America, we're able to reach a 911 operator for assistance when faced with an emergency. In a similar way, prayer can give us a connection for assistance from God. And although prayer goes far beyond emergencies, just like 911, it's of no use to us if we don't bother to make the connection. Dr. Evans will tell us more about that tomorrow, but right now, he's back with this cautionary word.
When Satan is doing his work, his advertised price is always lower than the actual cost. And some of us can testify we've been hooked by the devil. We've been hoodwinked by the evil one. That dude was a smooth-talking dude, looked like he was the right person until you got reeled in and messed up. So it is absolutely critical that you have the perspective of desire, and the desire leads, he says, to the disobedience.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.